Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. Now, you want to be there before 9 a.m. because prayer begins much earlier. And so it's nothing wrong with praying and spending time on our knees and seeking the Lord. As the Bible said, man should always pray. Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. Now, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. Not sometime. Not when you feel like it. Because God will tell you to do something, and it will just disrupt whatever your plans were for the day. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your kindness, for watching over and keeping us throughout this day. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord God, and for blessing us, for where you brought us from and what you are taking us into. Lord God, we honor you for your kindness, for being mindful of us. In Jesus' name, Lord, remember those that are sick in their body, those that are seeking you and tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Lord God, bless them. Lord, bless those that are faithful, those that are supporting their ministry, their pastors, their assembly where they assemble and worship you. Lord God, let them not feel the loss. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We'll be careful to give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you that we have 49 days. We're going to be celebrating Southern Cal Pentecost service May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. Now, from May 1st through the 30th, we're going to be consecrating. That means that we're not eating any meat during that time. You can eat as much vegetable as you want. Eat baked potato, fried potatoes, boiled potatoes, you know, broccoli. I love broccoli, especially broccoli cooked in the oven, you know, but no meat. Now, meat is meat, and I'm not arguing this point with anybody, but if it swims in the ocean, if it crawls, if it walks on the land, if it flies in the air, and you see it and you think that it's meat, no, it is meat, yes. Do not cook it. Do not bake it. Do not broil it. No. So it is strictly vegetables. And during that time, we're consecrating unto the Lord that he may bless us and meet the needs that we have. There are needs that you have that you don't even know you have. And so, but God does. God does. And the reason I say we don't know we have, because we spend so much time in denial. We spend so much time in denial and presumptuousness. We give ourselves a license to live a certain way. And God is saying, no, don't. And God is saying, no, you can't live that way. You shouldn't do that. And he even goes as far as tell us to separate ourselves. And so we're going to go on into the book of Genesis this evening. And we're in the book of Genesis, touching what is referred to as the particular Zation, you know, moving from general to the particulars, the universe, earth, man, and spirit. We are touching the creation and a principal person who is the cosmological, the cause of all things, and the teleological, the designing mind behind everything. Now, before we go there, I want to pluck this feather. That's what they used to tell us back in the day. The preachers would get up and we would hear them preaching, and the message was good, and other preachers were excited and they received something out of the message, and And if they had a chance at the microphone, they was going to, what they call, pluck that last feather or get the hair off the chicken. You know, I used to hear them say stuff like that. And that's because they grew up on farms and they know. And I grew up in the farm area as well and spent some time there. And so I know what they're talking about. But on Sunday's message was they changed their mind. You know, sometimes people go to church and they sit and it's just, you know, they go to hear a message, but it doesn't have an impact. But I need you to allow this to impact your spirit, man. You need to allow this to penetrate you because it wouldn't come up if it wasn't necessary. The Bible tells us that they changed their mind. They changed their mind. And people are changing their minds today. I'm not one of them. And my prayer is that you are not either. However, you might say, I'm not one that changed my mind because I go to church, because I listen to and sing gospel, or because I speak the word. Listen, you changed your mind if you have done a number of things that are considered change. Well, let's look at this. Genesis, the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses here. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, now you need to mark that, the sons of God, those that are claimed to be part of God's family, saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So they just went on a shopping spree. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. So it identifies that there is, or that there was, some form of knowledge of what they could and could not or should not do. However, they changed their mind. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And the fourth verse says, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and he bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, when you change your mind, you begin to compromise. That's a sign of change. When you begin to trespass means that you know what to do and you don't do it, or you do it. It's a sin of commission or omission, but you knew that it would be wrong if you did not do it or if you did do it. A change of mind is when you stop doing something that you should be doing. And then a change of mind is also when you return to something that you used to do that you said you were not going to do any longer. When you are exchanging godliness for fleshliness, for fleshly desire, then you have changed your mind. And you're about to, you need to understand, the Lord said, my spirit should not always strive with man. So you're about to lose something that is more valuable than the temporary gratification that you're after. Now, note that temporary gratification after a while subsides. You don't hunger and thirst for that any longer if you're not constantly feeding it. Now, a few noticeable signs about people when they have a change of mind are a lack of spiritual hunger and thirst. They're content where they are. The distinct display of casualness as they have arrived. I'm here, and there's no press toward the prize of what we call the high calling in Christ Jesus, and no longer it's not important. I'm here, I've arrived, and this is what I'm going to do, because there has been a change of mind. Now, Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So see, there's a limitation. Grace is not always going to strive with you. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And my pastor, my godmother, and they used to tell me that dead men feel no pain. They feel no pain. So when you die to something, not only do you feel no pain, but if you're dead to something, I don't care how much drink you pour on it, it's not going to revive you. It's not tempting. It has no life in it for you. There's no enjoyment there. When they changed their mind, they willfully surrendered their sonship, honor, and salvation. For what? For a temporary moment. A moment of pleasure became a life of pain. And you can go back and read Matthew 16 to 26 for yourself and Hebrews 11, 24, 26. And so I want to encourage you, sell out to God. Be 100 with him and about him and nothing less. All right. Please open your Bibles or devices to Genesis 26, verse 34 through 35. I'm going to start reading there. It says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took the wife, Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So Esau did something that hurt his mom and his dad. Maybe you've done something similar. And my prayer is that when you do think about how you acted as a teenager or even a young adult, how you acted towards someone, that you remember that when you see those things in your children. It's important that we recognize those things and not deny them, because that helps us deal with the situation much better. It helps us. It allows us to do things differently than the way it may have been handled, or it may give us insight to why they did it the way and spoke to us the way they did at that time. Now, the thought from this is that hurt sometimes causes pain. Hurt sometimes causes pain. The history of our thought this evening is found throughout the 27th chapter of Genesis. And so if you recall, or if you've read it, or if you've not, then stand by and listen to what I'm about to say. The Bible tells us that Isaac felt that time is passing and soon I'm going to be leaving here. And with that thought in mind, he started to put things in order. I hope that you're putting things in order as well. And so he called his son Esau, the oldest, and told him, look, things are winding down for me. I can see my days are numbered. And I'm paraphrasing all of this, okay? And so why don't you go out and get me some venison, and make this stew that I like. And Esau was a hunter. He liked going out hunting. He was a man of the field, whereas Jacob was one that hung around the house. Back in the day, they would call him homeboy, you know, but that has several meanings to it. But one is that either you hung around the house and you really wasn't fat, or your homeboy because he was from the neighborhood. All right. So Jacob hung around the house and he hung around his mom and learned some things. And that's fine. He learned some things. And so you may have done the same thing. I know how to sew on a sewing machine. And you don't see that too often. Matter of fact, I haven't seen a sewing machine in quite some time. Because so many things are digital now and run through a computer. But I did. I learned how to sew, cut patterns, do things, and how to cook. And I can cook from scratch when I want to. And so there are things that you learn and you pick up. Now, I was not one that hung around the house, but I did pick up a lot of things from my mother. And so Jacob picked up a lot of things, and he hung around his mom, and she loved that about him. Whereas Esau was one that his dad, go kill me, that sort of thing. Or I don't know how deep Isaac's voice was, but he enjoyed his son Esau. He enjoyed his son. And so you can imagine that maybe they was little ruffians growing up, where his dad always had him and showing him things. He was first born. And so when he was different than Jacob, when Jacob came along. And so the Bible speaks about how he was going to bless Esau. That was his intention. But Rebekah heard him. And while Esau was gone, she had Jacob to dress up and to be like him. Now, well, when Esau came back, he came back with the expectation of being blessed by his dad. And it didn't happen. And so during the course of time, we're going to go over to chapter 28. Beginning at verse 1 through verse 9, and let's go there. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him that he should, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Now remember, we read earlier that Esau was 40 years old and he took two wives, And so you got to stop and think, well, why are you doing that, Esau? Here's the instructions that he gave to Isaac, or Isaac gave to Jacob, excuse me. And he blessed him and charged him that he said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram and to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful. Now remember, Jacob now has the blessing that Esau would have received. And now he's receiving these instructions. And he's being told, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, the blessing that he promised to our ancestors, that God may give it to you, and to thy seed, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went over to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel of Syria, or Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, okay? Have you ever been in, as siblings, you saw your brother or your sister receive something and you did not get it? Or let's even go here with it. Maybe your mom or dad remarried, and there was a child that was existing, and maybe the parent wanted to please that child and didn't do the same thing for you. Or a new child was born and they did something for that child that they did not do for you. It make you feel a certain way. Yes, it does. It make you feel a certain way. And Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away and to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Okay. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone. He left to go and to find a wife. But the Bible goes on to tell us that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father. Then he went to Ishmael. Now, remember who Ishmael is? He went to Ishmael. And Ishmael was the Abraham and Hagar had a child, Ishmael. And he took wives from, so now he's going at the ancestry is there. And he take wives, which he had of Mahalath, the daughters of Ishmael, Abraham's son. And so as we see that he also Nebjeth to be his wife. And so Esau did this because he knew this was going to impact his parents. Esau was hurt. He was hurt because of what occurred. Now, I know what the scripture says, and I know what direction it is because the Lord already spoke about what was going to happen. But listen here. Understand that hurt sometimes causes pain. His brother, Jacob, took the opportunity and seized his birthright. Now, Esau comes in. Says, I'm hungry, I'm famished, man, I've been out hunting, man, I'm just worn out. I'm exhausted. And if you've ever been exhausted, then you know what he means. Maybe you went on a long hike and you were exhausted when you came back. Because certainly Esau was on a hike. He didn't have a mountain bike to ride. He didn't have a cart or anything like that. And if he went on a horse or something, you know. But he was out there, the sun beating down on him, and he came back, he's exhausted. He's exhausted. He's worn out. And his brother Jacob took the opportunity and seized his birthright. Well, man, I got some food here. And he didn't offer to share it with him. Man, hey, bro, you know, you tired. Here's a little something, you know, to rejuvenate you. No, he said, man, give me a birthright. Let's have an exchange here. And Esau went for it. He did it. Now, their word was their bond. What they said. And is your word your bond today? When you say something, do you follow through with it or do you say it in at the moment and then later on you have to be asked about it repeatedly, or maybe you're not asked about it at all because the person that you communicated with saw that you really were serious in what you were saying. We see this occur quite often. But their word was their bond. What they said, they meant it. That was it. And so his mother, Rebecca, had his brother during the time that Isaac is feeling a certain kind of way and he's ready to sign things over. She had Esau's brother put on a costume that would cause him to resemble Esau. You go get some skin, animal skin, you know, this hairy stuff. She told him just what to do. She told him just. His brother. And so the scripture says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, there, here I am. And he said, behold, now I'm old. Now the days of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapon and thy quiver and thy bow and go into the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I might may eat, that my soul bless thee before I die. Now, his mom knew exactly what he wanted. She was cooking for him long before Esau came on the scene. And so she made the venison, and she made it savory just the way he liked it. She knew just what to do. And she dressed Jacob up with a garment and made him appear and smell like Esau with the agenda of taking advantage of the blessing for Jacob. She wanted Jacob to have it. Now, if this happened, you would be hurt too. You would be upset as well. There are people not talking to one another because of situations similar to this. The parent has passed and siblings are fighting over things that have been left at the house. They're fighting over the house and different things, and somebody walks away with it, you know, and people get upset. And same thing, this goes on even in the religious arena, and it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Not if we do things the right way. Not if we document things, you know, and as far as in the religious arena, the pastor's responsibility of leadership to pray and to know what direction that they're going, that the church should go upon their demise. And so that's all written out rather than people fighting and campaigning and trying to take advantage of that opportunity at that time. And that messes things up. Families, both spiritually and naturally, don't talk to one another sometime ever again, and other times for maybe a space of time that they just cannot wrap their head around it. But listen, when we do things the right way, So he was hurt. Some of you have experienced similar situations on the job, at home, and in relationships where you were hurt by something someone did. You were the victim of political or racism or gender prejudice. Someone took opportunity from you. They seized a moment when it should have been yours, but it was given to someone else. And that hurt because you did what you knew to do, and you were doing it very well. And there's a difference in doing it well and just doing it. That gets into an area of operating under spirit of excellence. Do you operate in the spirit of excellence on the job? Do you operate in the spirit of excellence in the church? Do you operate in the spirit of excellence putting together a model? You know, by the time you finish putting that model, do anyone put models together any longer? You know, that used to be a hobby. You put models together, you bought glue, it came with plastic parts and wheels and stuff like that, and you put it together, and you know, and so that was an art piece, whether it was boat, airplane. And you now, when you put together a model, it shouldn't be that after it's all done that you still have pieces left over. There's a window over there that was supposed to go in place. There's a wheel that was supposed to go in place, you know, or anything. No, it should all the parts of the model should be used. All the parts should be used. And so it's the same in what we do on the job, what we do in the church. All the parts that are given to us should be used. Not all pain and suffering is bad. It appears and it feels bad, but something happens during the process. Something, when we're hurt and we're going through that process of the suffering and pain, there is something that is occurring. This is why I use a phrase that hurt sometimes causes pain. Hurt causes pain. All right. Even a lack of understanding can be mentally stressful. Now, I suffered a loss, and my godmother gave me Psalms 119 and 71, which says, "It is good for me that I had been afflicted." She told me, she said, you know, David said, and I didn't get it, you know, even though you shake your head, but I really didn't get it because I was dealing with emotions, and I was like, well, how is that, you know? How's that fitting in right now? And it really wasn't what I wanted to hear. But as time went on, it started to resonate with me more and more. You know, even recently, I was sitting down reading from the book of Psalms. And as I read the scripture, I came across this particular one. And it said, "It is good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." So in our pain and suffering, there is something to learn. Hurt sometimes causes pain. Now, Esau was hurt and Esau caused pain because he was hurt. So even when you're dealing with a situation where someone hurts your feelings, maybe they were hurt. And because they were hurt, they're now causing pain. You know, they teach and say that if you spank a child, then the child is going to create a cycle. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible tells us not to spare the child. Don't spoil them that way. But it should be done sparingly and out of only when it's required. And there's a certain way of doing certain things. And so we should understand that as well. Now, some people are against corporal punishment, and that's fine. We're not talking about that this evening. We're talking about the fact that if an individual is hurt, it can cause pain because they may, as Esau did, he knew that he was hurt and he was disappointed. And, you know, we could make a whole list to talk about what hurt is. And he took upon himself to do something that he knew was displeasing to his parents, and he caused them pain. Now, as I said, I didn't get it at first, but I understood later on that because my focus was so much on what I was dealing with, I wasn't getting it. And sometimes we don't get it immediately, but if we're open, it will come to us. If we don't shut it all down and start shutting people down, things will make sense to us, and we'll understand that no matter how painful it was, no matter how hurtful it was, no matter how angry it made us, we'll get it and realize. And so I realized it, others realized it, you'll realize it too. It's a process, and we learn something along the way. In the process of time, I heard my children saying that, you know, something is different about him. And it was that's not a bad statement, but something is different. We see something that blossomed out of him. And others made the same statement. Now, I'm not tooting my horn. I don't have a horn to toot because it was God. I stuck with the Lord. And through the whole situation of my ignorance, my not understanding, my pain, my suffering, and no matter what you're dealing with, do not leave the Lord. Do not. I had to preach through pain and suffering. You will too. If you're a preacher, you're going to have to preach through pain and suffering. When someone launches out at you, betrays you or hurts you or whatever category that you put it in, you still going to have to be faithful to God. Even with your lack of understanding, you cannot use that hurt and preach about it over the podium, because that's not the message. You still got to feed the flock of God, and you can't be feeding them with what you're dealing with. You've got to feed them the word of God as he leads. Hurt sometimes causes pain. The individual that is hurt may not have been hurt by you, but it's still causing pain because they're causing pain with everybody they meet. Listen, our reaction to situation and other circumstances causes us to respond. That is what Esau did. He responded in his hurt, and it caused mental and emotional pain and suffering to his mom and dad because he was hurting. He was hurting. People do things even to themselves when they're hurting. I remember being in the Hollywood Hills, and we got a call, and we went to see about this abandoned building, and that was being occupied by people that you would say trespassing. And I never seen this in my life until then. There's a lot of things that you're not exposed to. One is that I saw young teens. There are people, teenagers, 15, 14, you know, very young, that are homeless and in the streets, and the pain and suffering that they're dealing with. They're cutting themselves with tin can tops and different things, glass and stuff, tattooing themselves because of the hurt that they're experiencing. Because you don't do that. You don't do that because you're doing it because there's pain. And so I was exposed to that and seen that. And man, I tell you, that was an eye opener. Isaac was hurt. Now, when we look at that 28th verse, the Bible says that, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him that he should not, don't take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Isaac called Jacob. He did not call Esau. The scripture doesn't tell us that he called Esau. It says he called Jacob. Isaac blessed Jacob. He told Esau that things were going to be hard for him before things even get better. And Isaac, his father, 27th chapter, verse 39 and 40 says, and Isaac, his father answered and said unto him, because Esau was saying, hey, don't you at least have a blessing for me? He said, behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shall thou live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So you're going to live under the shadow of your brother until you take dominion. And so his task, he was going to have to work hard for what he got. Harder than what Jacob. Now, Jacob did have to have some tasks in front of him, and we can't ignore that. But Esau was going to have a job ahead of him. Jacob did not marry anyone in Canaan. Now, but nothing, because Isaac asked him, don't do that. And Rebecca was there and said, hey, co-signing it, don't do that. But nothing is said to Esau that we are aware of. He heard this being said, and he went against what his mom and dad had instructed Jacob. Now, we could look at this and talk about the dysfunction, the dysfunctional family. I mean, it's clearer today than it was yesterday. And I believe as parents, sometimes we owe our children apologies for many things. No, they did not come with a book tied to their ankle, but yet there is literature on good parenting that we could use. I remember taking a class on parenting and books and different things. And I remember seeing a cartoon where Bugs Bunny was reading a book on parenting. And when he got to the end of the book, it said, when all else failed, use the book. And so he turned the child over and used the book. But listen, the book, there are a lot of good information in the book to help you out. And so there are some things when I look back at raising my children and two sons, two daughters, and think about things, I found that, you know, I'm like, wow, that's, you know, and we laugh about things now. They remind me and tell me different things. But there are some things that you just, as a parent, you look at, and I'm sure my mom, my dad, I'm sure others, the same thing. You look back and you say, wow, you know, I could have done better. Or I could have did things differently. Always keep that in mind. And then also spoil your grandchildren too. You know, listen, oh my God, bless your name, Jesus. I used to tell my daughters and children that, hey, when you have children, I'm going to watch them and I'm going to send them. When you come pick them up in your nice, clean car, I'm going to make sure that they've been outside playing in the dirt, that they've had a great time, that their hands are sticky from candy and stuff like that. And when you come to get them, I'm going to push them out the door so they can get into your nice, clean car. None of that has ever happened. I'm always making sure that they are taken care of before they leave here and go home so that my daughter don't have to have them take a bath or do anything like that. That's already been taken care of. And it's a great privilege to be able to do that and cook for them and all of that. There are things that we could do. Things that we can do, especially when you know within your heart that we can all do better. Esau was hurt, and so he acted out of his hurt. Many children today are acting out of hurt. But if we just take the time and realize and have good conversation, not hold things, then it makes a world of difference. My son and I had a conversation. Well, actually, he did something and said something I was in total disagreement with. And so when we did see each other, we didn't dwell on that. We both understood each other's language. And that's another thing. There's body language. There's chemistry. There's body language. There is different types of language. That's what I'm trying to get to. Where you know how to talk to your children or to siblings. And then there is the body language where one may not do a lot of talking, but they are hands-on. They want to touch you. They want to sit right underneath you. They want to hug and all of that kind of stuff, you know. And you might not have been raised that way, but that child is desiring that. Give it to them. Give it to them so that they will appreciate it, and not because of what we don't give them, they're going to go and get somewhere else. They're going to seek for it outside of us. And so, and that's what we don't want, because then how do we talk with them later? How do we communicate later if we're not communicating now? The main thing to understand is that, listen, we all have and did some great things, and others struggle with some things because of the hurt, and through relationship, church, and school, they've overcome. The main thing is to understand that hurt sometimes causes pain, so it can be addressed with patience. If you know someone is hurting, you're going to have to be patient with them. You're going to have to realize that that's their reality and what they're dealing with. It's mental, it's physical, and certainly spiritual reconciliation that we're looking for. Now, I pray and I hope that I've said something that is helpful to everyone this evening. Esau was hurt, and because he was hurt, it caused pain. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness and grace for this short exhortation. Lord God, we just pray and ask that you would bless, Lord, those that are listening, those that will be tuning in later, to realize and understand that if an individual's hurt, that they will launch out. They may strike at others and those closest to them because of the pain and suffering that they are dealing with. Lord, help us to see and understand those things and to be a source of help, Lord, to help others, Lord, when we see that, or if we're experiencing it ourselves, Lord, that we, that through your word, through prayer, and through wise counsel, that we overcome those things. I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want to remind you to visit connectingtruth.org. That is connectingtruth.org. And leave us drop us a line. Let us know what you think, a testimony. You know, God bless you. Share the link, connectingtruth.org, with someone else that they might also be blessed as you are blessed. If you have any questions or want to know more about the Pentecost service that is coming up, again, visit connectingtruth.org. There's more information that's present there. God bless you.